Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhar and today Masechet Ksubos Daf Chav Beis, the second parak, Aisha Shin Sarmula. The Zichud Masechet Ksubos program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachzachas Torah. So the three daps are going to focus on number one. Rav Asi said, "Menanla Pesha Asahu Pesha Yitzer Min HaTorah." From where in the Torah do we derive the principle that the mouth that forbids is the mouth that permits? It's stated in the pasuk as Biti Nasati Isha Zel Isha. My daughter have given to this man as a wife. As soon as the father says le'ish to the man, he forbids her to all men. But when he says hazeh, this, identifying the husband, he permits her to him. When the Gemara asks why sources need it when it says svora, hu asra, hu shariwa, he forbade her and he permits her, it successfully demonstrates that the pasuk is not necessary. Rather, the pasuk is needed for Rav Huna said in the name of Rav. From where in the Torah is it derived that a father is believed to forbid his daughter to all men by declaring she's a married woman? The pasuk states, as biti nasati le'ish, my daughter I have given to this man as a wife. Point number two, is Tana Braisa, isha she'amra eshes ishani, v'chazva amra penuyani ne'amenes. If a woman said, I am married, and then went back and said, I am unmarried, she's believed that she is unmarried, even though her second statement contradicts her first one. When the Gemara asks that when she says she's married, v'hashavi le'navsha, chasika de'isura, she has rendered herself as a forbidden object, Rabba bar Rav Huna answered, kagon she'nasa matla devareah. The Braisa is discussing a case where she gave a reasonable explanation for her first words. An incident is related in a Braisa, Bisha Achaz Gadoa, Shahais Gadoa Benoi, Vakapsa Labini Adam Akadsha, with a prominent woman who was very beautiful, and many men jumped to try to be Makadisher, and she would say to them, I'm Mukadeshus. Later she became Mukadeshus, and when the Rabban asked her how she could become Mukadeshus to a different man, she explained that she would say that she was Mukadeshus to men who were not appropriate for her, so they wouldn't bother her. And pointing with Rabbi Yochanan said, Shnaim Omrim Meis, Shnaim Omrim Lo Meis. If two witnesses said a man died, and two other witnesses said he did not die, his wife may not marry another man, but if she did, she does not have to leave him. And if two witnesses say a woman is divorced, and another two say she is not divorced, she may not marry another man, and if she did, she must leave him. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yochanan allows her to stay married when the issue is her husband's death, yet requires her to leave when the issue is divorce, and brings three explanations. Abaye said that Rabbi Yochanan is referring to when one witness testified and another one witness contradicted him. In the case of testifying regarding the husband's death, Imenu Rabban can be tray. The Rabban believe him as if he were two witnesses, and it was said, Kol makom she'amina Torah eid echad harikan shnayim. Whenever the Torah believes one witness, it's as though there are two witnesses. But the second witness is only treated as one witness, and therefore he's not significant. But in the divorce case, Tarvayu be'eshes ish k'masahati, both witnesses are testifying about a married woman, meaning she was presumed single until they testified that she was previously married. And this witness who says she was divorced is only one witness. And the words of one witness are not significant next to the words of two witnesses. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav Asi said, from where in the Torah do we derive the principle that the mouth that forbids is the mouth that permits? It's stated in the pasuk as biti nasati le'isha zel isha. My daughter have given to this man as a wife. As soon as the father says le'ish to the man, he forbids her to all men. But when he says hazeh, this, identifying the husband, he permits her to him. When the Gemara asks why sources need it when it says svora, hu asra, hu shariwa, he forbade her and he permits her, it successfully demonstrates that the pasuk is not necessary. Rather, the pasuk is needed for Rav Huna said in the name of Rav. From where in the Torah is it derived that a father is believed to forbid his daughter to all men by declaring she's a married woman? The pasuk states, as biti nasati le'ish, my daughter I have given to this man as a wife. Pointing to his Tana Braisa, isha she'amra eshes ishani, v'chazva amra penuyani ne'amenes. If a woman said, I am married, and then went back and said, I am unmarried, she's believed that she is unmarried, even though her second statement contradicts her first one. When the Gemara asks that when she says she's married, v'hashavi le'navsha, chasika de'isura, she has rendered herself as a forbidden object, Rabba bar Rav Huna answered, kagon she'nasa matla devareah. The Braisa is discussing a case where she gave a reasonable explanation for her first words. An incident is related in a Braisa, Bisha Achaz Gadoa, Shahais Gadoa Benoi, Vakapsa Labini Adam Akadsha, with a prominent woman who was very beautiful, and many men jumped to try to be Makadisher, and she would say to them, I'm Mukadeshus. Later she became Mukadeshus, and when the Rabban asked her how she could become Mukadeshus to a different man, she explained that she would say that she was Mukadeshus to men who were not appropriate for her, so they wouldn't bother her. And pointing with Rabbi Yochanan said, Shnaim Omrim Meis, Shnaim Omrim Lo Meis. If two witnesses said a man died, and two other witnesses said he did not die, his wife may not marry another man, but if she did, she does not have to leave him. And if two witnesses say a woman is divorced, and another two say she is not divorced, she may not marry another man, and if she did, she must leave him. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yochanan allows her to stay married when the issue is her husband's death, yet requires her to leave when the issue is divorce, and brings three explanations. Abaye said that Rabbi Yochanan is referring to when one witness testified and another one witness contradicted him. In the case of testifying regarding the husband's death, he knew Rabban could betray. The Rabban believe him as if he were two witnesses. And Ula said, Kol makom she'amina Torah eid echad, hari kan shnayim. Whenever the Torah believes one witness, it's as though there are two witnesses. But the second witness is only treated as one witness, and therefore he's not significant. But in the divorce case, Tarvayu be'eshes ish k'masahati, both witnesses are testifying about a married woman, meaning she was presumed single until they testified that she was previously married. And this witness who says she was divorced is only one witness. And the words of one witness are not significant next to the words of two witnesses. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Chav Beis, and our standard Siman is a cab, a taxi cab. So here goes. The father was taking his young chashav and beautiful daughter in a cab to give to a certain man as a wife, and was proud when she told the cab driver she was already mekudeshes when she wasn't. Got frustrated when the cab got stuck between two aiding contradicting each other about whether a woman's husband died and another two about whether a woman was divorced. Once again, it's a motion. The father was taking his young chashav and beautiful daughter in a cab. A cab? That must mean we're in Daf Chabez. The father was taking his young chashav and beautiful daughter in a cab to give to a certain man as a wife, which reminds us, the pasuk of Esbiti Nasati L'ish Hazeh is needed for what Rav Huna said in the name of Rav. Manayin L'av Shneman L'asur Esbito Min HaTorah. From where in the Torah is it derived that a father is believed to forbid his daughter to all men by declaring that she's a married woman? The pasuk states, Esbiti Nasati L'ish, my daughter have given to this man as a wife. So the father was taking his young chashav and beautiful daughter in a cab to give to a certain man as a wife, and was proud when she told the cab driver she was already mekudeshes when she wasn't, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa. If a woman said, I'm married, and then went back and said, I'm unmarried, she's believed that she is unmarried, even though her second statement contradicts her first one. Rabba Rav Huna said the brisa is discussing a case where she gave an amatla, a reasonable explanation for her first words. An incident is related in a brisa with a prominent woman who was very beautiful, and many men jumped to try to be mekadesher, and she would say to them, I'm mekadeshes. Later she became mekadeshes, and when the Rabban asked her how she could become mekadeshes to a different man, she explained that she would say she was mekadeshes to men who were not appropriate for her, so they wouldn't bother her. So the father was taking his young chashav and beautiful daughter in a cab to give to a certain man as a wife, and was proud when she told the cab driver she was already mekadeshes when she wasn't. Got frustrated when the cab got stuck between two aiding contradicting each other about whether a woman's husband died and another two about whether a woman was divorced, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said that if two aiding said that a man died and two other aiding said he did not die, his wife may not marry another man, but if she did, she doesn't have to leave him. But if two witnesses say a woman is divorced and another two women say that she's not divorced, she may not marry another man, and if she did, she must leave him. The Gemara explains why Rabbi Yochanan allows her to stay married when the issue is her husband's death, yet requires her to leave when the issue is divorce, and brings three explanations. So once again, the father was taking his young chashav and beautiful daughter in a cab to give to a certain man as a wife, and was proud when she told the cab driver she was already mekudeshes when she wasn't. Got frustrated when the cab got stuck between two aiding contradicting each other about whether a woman's husband died and another two about whether a woman was divorced. All right, now it's time for four blah blah chazara. Daf Yud Ches. So the simmer Daf Yud Ches is a chuppah. So here goes. It was an embarrassing moment of the chuppah. Chuppah. That must mean we're on Daf Yud Ches. It was an embarrassing moment at the chuppah when a borrower who borrowed with Eidim tried to pay the chassan back without Eidim, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that the halacha is hamalvas chavero be'edim eno sarach lefaro be'edim, that if one borrows from someone in the presence of witnesses, the borrower is not required to repay him in the presence of witnesses. So it was an embarrassing moment at the chuppah when a borrower who borrowed with Eidim tried to pay the chassan back without Eidim. And the chassan said, I lent you more. And the borrower was only modi b'miksas, which reminds us, Rabba taught me, Mifnei ma'am retorah modi b'miksas satan and yeshava. Why did the Torah say that one who admits to a part of a claim must swear that the denial of the other part is true? Chazaka ain't adam me'iz panam b'fnei bal chobo, because it's a chazaka, that a person is not brazen enough to deny his obligation in the face of his lender. Therefore, it's possible that the debtor really wished to deny the entire loan, and the reason he did not deny it entirely is only because the person is not brazen enough to deny the entire loan to the face of the lender. Rabba brings another rationale as well. So it was an embarrassing moment of the chuppah when a borrower who borrowed with Eidim tried to pay the chassan back without Eidim. And the chassan said, I lent you more. And the borrower was only modi b'miksas. And then the Eidim suddenly spoke up and said, we were forced with a financial threat but we're not believed. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that Eden Sha'amru Ksav Yadena Huzeh, if witnesses come to certify a document, and they say, this is our handwriting, Ava Anusi Mayinu Katani Mayinu Psuhi Edes Hayinu Hari Elinei Amanim, but we were forced to sign, or we were minors when we were signed, or we were unfit to testify, they're believed. Rami Bar Chama said that this applies when they were forced with a threat to their lives, but if they said they were forced with a threat to their finances, they're not believed, because Ein Adam Mesim Atzmo Rasha, a person cannot establish himself as a Rasha. Rasha explains that a witness cannot disqualify himself with a self-incriminating statement, because Karav Hu Eitzel Atzmo V'Karav Pasul Eidus, a person is considered related to himself, and a person cannot testify about his relatives. Daf Yud Tes, so the symbol for Daf Yud Tes is a yacht. So here goes. The famous detective who came on board the yacht, that must be on Daf Yud Tes. The famous detective who came on board the yacht to figure out if the borrower, or lender, or Aiden shouted the words, Shtar Aman Huzeh, which reminds us, if you'd have said in the name of Rav, Ha'omer Shtar Aman Huzeh, Eino Ne'aman. If one says concerning a loan document, this is a document written on trust, he's not believed. Rush explains that the loan never took place. Rather, the borrower wrote it and gave it to the lender in anticipation of the loan and trusted that the lender would not try to collect payment unless the loan occurred, but then the lender broke his trust. The Gemara seeks to clarify who said it was a shtar mana. Was it the lova, the malva, or the aiding? So the famous detective who came on board the yacht to figure out if the borrower, lender, or aiding shouted the words shtar mana huzeh and had the cabin searched for shtar amanas, paruas, and pasim, which reminds us, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, asu lo la'adam shiyasha shtar parua betok beso. It's also for a person referring to a lender to keep a paid-up loan document in his house. As the pasuk says, al tashken bo halecha avla, let not injustice dwell in your tent. So the famous detective who came on board the yacht to figure out if the borrower, lender, or aiding shouted the words shtar amanu huzeh and had the cabin searched for shtar amanas, paruas, and pasim was in for a big surprise when two men claimed he coerced someone to sell him his magnifying glass, and although they signed the shtar, declared moda hayu devarenu, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, aiding who signed a loan document and later said moda hayu devarenu, our words of testimony were preceded by a notification of non-intent by the owner, they're not believed. Here, though, Adim testified that before they signed, the seller indicated he was being coerced to sell and did not want the sale to be effective. They signed to help save the seller from the situation. They're not believed because their later testimony cannot invalidate the signed document held by the lender. Marbar Ravashi said, in the case of the moda, they are believed. This is because they are permitted to sign such a document to rescue the seller from the buyer's threats. Dav Chaf. So the Simmer Dav Chaf is a cafe. So here goes. At the Basting Cafe, that must mean we're on Daf Chaf. At the Basting Cafe, where two women were proudly telling their friends that their ksuba was recently used to authenticate signatures, which reminds us, we do not certify a shtar except from a document that was challenged in Basin and was upheld. Those from the Hardah said that when there is no certified document, we may certify a shtar only from two ksubas, meaning the Adim had signed two previous ksubas, or from the bill of sale of two fields, provided that their owners harvested from them for 3 years peacefully without any challenges. So at the Basting Cafe, where two women were proudly telling their friends that their ksubas were recently used to authenticate signatures, sat a nervous witness reviewing his testimony notes, which reminds us it was taught in a brisa, Kosev Adam Edusa al Hashtar made Aleha Afil Achar Kamashanim. A person may write his testimony on a document and testify orally from it even many years later. Rav Huna said this applies only where he remembers the testimony on his own. Rashi explains that he remembers in general on his own and only uses the notes to fill in the details. Rav Yochanan said, Afo Pisha Ein Zochra Me'atzmo. He may testify on it even if he does not remember the testimony on his own. So at the Basting Cafe, where two women were proudly telling their friends that their ksubas were recently used to authenticate signatures, sat a nervous witness reviewing his testimony notes, while his elderly waiter bragged that he could easily remember what happened over 60 years ago. Which reminds us, when Rav Chisda suggests that we can learn from Rav Meir that Eidus is remembered for up to 60 years, such as in the case of the tumah status of old mounds outside the Pather city, the Gemara rejects it, saying that in the case of the mound, since it was not incumbent on one person to remember, we suspect people forget after 60 years. But in the case of Eidus, since it's incumbent on the aid, he can remember it even after 60 years. Daf Chafav, so the Simmer Daf Chafav is a car pronounced ka by people from Boston. So here goes. When the surviving witness drove his ka, that must be more on Daf Chaf Aleph. when the surviving witness drove his car and tossed the clay shard with his signature on it towards Beis Din, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Shnama Kosumim al Shtar Umeis Echomehem. If two people sign on a shtar and one of them died, we need two people from the shuk to testify about his signature, and the surviving witness cannot be one of them. If there's only one aide who recognizes the signature of the deceased, Abai said, Lichtov Chasimas Yadeh al Chaspa, let the surviving aide write his signature on a shard and throw it into Basin, and Basin will verify his signature on the shard so that he will not have to testify about his own signature. Then he and the other person from the shuk can testify about the other signature on the shtar, for he will be providing only one half of the testimony needed. The Gemara clarifies that he should not write his signature on a scroll, for perhaps a dishonest person will find it and write on it, above the signature, that the person owes him an amount of money. So, when the surviving witness drove his car and tossed the clay shard with the signature on it towards Beis Din, it flew right between an aide and a dayan, who cannot be mitzarv, which reminds us, an aide and a dayan cannot be mitzarv, since the aide, according to the Chachamim, is testifying about the amount of money in the shtar, and the dayan is testifying about its certification. So when the surviving witness drove his car and tossed the clay shard with his signature on it towards Beis Din, it flew right between an aide and a dayan, who cannot be mitzarev, and landed in front of two dayanim who were testifying before a third dayan that they recognized his signatures on a shtar, which reminds us, the Gemara revises one of Rav Huna's rulings to teach that if two of the three dayanim recognize the signatures on a shtar before they write the certification, mi'idim b'fanav v'chosam, they may testify before the remaining dayan about the signatures and then sign the certification afterwards. The Gemara infers from here, aid nasa dayan, that a witness may become a judge in the case where he testified. This does not apply with aid as a chodesh, which is a deraisa, but does apply with kiyum ha-shtars, the rabban, certification of shtaros, which is a derabban. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn that an aide and a dayan cannot be mitzarev since an aide is testifying about the amount in the shtar and the dayan is testifying about its certification? That's on daf chaf alaf. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn that when there's no certified document, we may certify a shtar only from two ksubas, meaning the aidim had signed two previous ksubas, or from the bill of sale of two fields? That's on daf chaf. Good. Number 3. Which daf does the Gemara seek to clarify who said shtar aman hu zeh? That's on daf yud tes. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you learn that a father can forbid his daughter to amen when he says es biti nasati isha zeh? That's on daf chaf beis. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you learn that a person who borrowed in front of eidim does not need to repay the loan in front of eidim? That's on daf yod ches. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you learn that a woman can say she's mekudeshes when she is not, in order that certain men don't bother her? That's on daf chav beis. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you learn if one aide dies, then a second aide should write his signature on a shard before Beis Din to certify, and then he'll testify with another aide on the deceased's signature? That's on daf chafav. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do you learn that when Adam contradict whether a man dies, if his wife marries a man when she shouldn't, she does not have to leave him, but if they contradict whether she's divorced and she gets married when she shouldn't, she does have to leave the man? That's on daf chav beis. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you learn that an aide can use notes to help him recall his testimony? That's on daf chaf. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you learn if two dayanim recognize the signatures on the shtar, they may testify before the third dayan and then certify the shtar? That's on daf chafav. Good. And number 10, which stuff do you learn? It's asking for the lender to keep a shtar perua, a paid-up loan, in his house. That's on daf yud tes. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.